give your attention to verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Let's pray, and then we'll read the text, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless what He has pinned down for us to see, and bless the preaching of His Word. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Spirit of God to his favorite church, the church at Philippi, who he dearly loved, and they loved him. Chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with," what's the next word? "Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." That's a great portion of text. And it is too large for me to handle anywhere near the way it should be handled, but let's pray the Lord will help us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we pray that as we try further to understand what you have recorded here, what you have preserved here for us, we pray that you'd help us understand it, help us to grasp it, help us to come to grips with it, so that it will not only be heard and seen, but God, it will become a part of our everyday lives. That we would see the need and the importance of thanksgiving. And that you would be glorified. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. I always try to prepare my own heart for various seasons of the year, Thanksgiving being one of those. And so I typically go in the Word of God, find a text dealing with Thanksgiving, then try to understand that so that I will be thankful. And I will be reminded that that's what I should be and how I should be it. In thinking about this text that is before us tonight, I thought how we, and all I know is we at Lakeview, I don't know anyone, any other church, but it seems that we at Lakeview often settle for far too less. Or maybe I should just say that at least I do. When you think about things, most of what we see happening at church could simply happen without any supernatural work of God. Or just by the common grace of God, what we call the general providence of God. So let me sort of explain that. It is the general providence of God that keeps us living and keeps our bodies sustained. It is the providence of God that keeps our minds clear, our wills on what we are to do, and generally, We can preach and we can teach and we can come and we can sing and we can worship. We can share Christ. And we can do all of that just by general providence. My argument for me, this is me arguing with me, is that while all of that is good, I should not only settle for what I humanly can do. I should not simply settle for what can be accomplished through the general providence of God. Instead of settling for what we can do without the supernatural enablement of God, we should desire the supernatural, and we should not settle for anything less than the supernatural. Let me give you some examples. Number one, I do not exist to simply preach, but I exist to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that people may hear the word, be supernaturally awakened from unbelief and changed beyond what any human could cause on its own. Sunday school teachers do not simply exist to teach Sunday school, but to teach in the power of the Holy Spirit so that those who hear are supernaturally converted and built up in the faith and love beyond what any human being can do. We don't come to church just to sing, but to sing filled with the Spirit of God. Because our affections, the affections of our heart, are on fire for God, that the glory of Christ be seen and savored beyond what any human or any music could do. We don't exist simply to tell people about Christ or spread the gospel, but we do all of that in the power of the Spirit of God so that hard, unbelieving hearts would be supernaturally changed into believing hearts. Lakeview Baptist Church is not a club. We are not merely a social organization. We're not a weekly pep rally. We are a committed group of saved sinners who have been supernaturally brought from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ as our God, as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our treasure. We are a people in whom the Holy Spirit indwells. In other words, we are a supernatural people who sadly do not long for the supernatural. Amen. We have settled for what we can do instead of aiming to accomplish that which is impossible unless God does it. We settle for what we can do instead of aiming at that which only a supernatural work of God can do. Because in everything we do, our aim should be that in all that we do, everything we do, God gets the glory. And that is impossible without God's supernatural grace. And the reason that I say all this and why I think this is important for us to hear tonight is because of what Paul says here to the church at Philippi. He says, the Lord is at hand. Do you believe that? The Lord is at hand. What does it mean that the Lord is at hand? And what are the implications of that being true, that the Lord is at hand? Well, we would say that the Lord at hand has a spatial meaning, which means the Lord is near. He's near to all of us, amen. He's close. He's not a God who is at a distance. In fact, He lives in you. And then there is a promised meaning of this as well. The Lord is at hand, which means the coming of the Lord is near. He is at the gate, ready to step onto the scene. We could say the kingdom of God is near. Do we believe that? If God is near, if the kingdom of God could be coming tonight, should we not tonight be worshiping much better than we are? See, that's what I'm saying. The Lord is near. And we're going to have to stand before God and give an account. How you preached, how you taught, how you worshiped, how you shared Christ. So with these two meanings in mind here, the Lord is near to us, and the Lord is near in coming for us. There is this awareness of the nearness of God that is the truth that should motivate us to what? To rejoice in the Lord. Say amen. The Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord. Or rejoice in the Lord because He's near. He's close to you. His coming is imminent. So rejoice in the Lord. And Paul says, and again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. So we rejoice, we are filled with gladness twice over because we are aware that the Lord is at hand. This word, moderation, let your moderation be known to all men. It is a word that means to not insist on every rite of letter or law or custom. It means to be yielding, to be gentle, to be kind, to be courteous, to be tolerant. It is not being self-exalting. It is not being self-exerting. It means do not be fighting to prove yourself right. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Are you with me? The word moderation takes away that feeling of trying to fix things ourselves, trying to right things ourselves, trying to self-exert ourselves, fighting to prove ourselves being right. Don't need to do that if you know the Lord is near. You can rejoice if you know the Lord is near. Sometimes we forget. And then he says, be careful for what? For nothing. He says, be anxious about nothing. Be worried about nothing. Be overly concerned about nothing. It is the awareness of God's nearness. It is the awareness of God's imminent return that will motivate us not to be anxious about anything, not to be putting ourselves forward and exerting ourselves, and to be rejoicing in the Lord. You with me? Be anxious about nothing. What am I to be anxious about? What am I to be worried about? What am I to be overly concerned about? What is it? Nothing. It's a strange Greek word. It means nothing. Say amen. Amen. I am to be anxious for nothing. I am to have no anxiety, no apprehensiveness. I am to have no undue concerns. Zero, none, zilch. This means there is no event or no condition in my life or your life that we are to worry about. None. You can't say be careful for nothing, but no, there is no but be careful for nothing. Why is that? Why does Paul say this? Because anxiety robs you of your joy in God. And because anxiety motivates you to be self-assertive and self-exalting. You see how that fits together? Anxiety causes you to do that which promotes your way. Now, there are some here, not here tonight, because they're worried their food's not going to be ready on time tomorrow. Right? They're anxious about Thanksgiving dinner, apparently. But I'm here to remind you tonight that Thanksgiving is more than just a family meal on the fourth Thursday of November. And I want to show you that in the text. So this awareness that God is near, this awareness, right, that the Lord is at hand, helps me rejoice in the Lord, helps me to be in moderation and not be self-asserted, helps me not to be anxious. That awareness that God is near, God is coming, God could come tonight, I should rejoice. So that awareness is important. God's nearness and my awareness of that truth spatially and in His promise that He's coming for us, that is important. How do we remind ourselves, how do we keep in the awareness of God's nearness? Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known of all men. Be careful for nothing, because the Lord is near. So instead of anxiety that will take away our joy in God and make us self-exerting, we are to what? We are to pray. Notice what he says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, pray. Amen. I am to be worried about nothing because I'm praying about everything. Amen. Are you with me? And you know I don't pray about everything and you don't pray about everything, but we should. Because if you're praying about it, you won't be anxious about it. Amen. So instead of being careful, we need to be prayerful. Be anxious about nothing. Be prayerful in everything. Right? Is that what your Bible says? Now, it is important that we be aware of God's nearness, because we're always to be spiritually awake and ready to meet Him without shame. Can I ask you a question tonight? If God were to come back in the middle of our worship service, would we be ashamed of how we're worshiping? Would we be ashamed at the joy of our heart? Would we be ashamed of how we are trying to exert ourselves? Would we be ashamed that we have settled for what we can humanly do without aiming for what only God can do? Oh, I think there are tears when God comes back because we are ashamed. We need to be able to meet Him without shame as good stewards of our gifts and our opportunities. That is why we must aim higher than we do. That is why I must aim higher than I do. So that my awareness of His return, my awareness of His nearness will increase. because I will stand accountable. Will I, as your pastor, stand before God and look God in the eye and say, I did all that I could humanly do? And God says, but you never aimed higher than that. You never aimed at that which is impossible for you to do without the Spirit's supernatural work. Amen. So in our text, Paul says, be not anxious in anything, but instead be prayerful in everything. In fact, he also says, the context, rejoice always. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Always be rejoicing. Be anxious about nothing and be prayerful for everything. That's what he says. So there are no circumstances in which we should not rejoice. There are no circumstances where we are to worry. And there are no circumstances that we should not be prayerful. Are you with me? The way we show the awareness of the nearness of God is through our praying in everything. We are to pray in each situation. We are to pray in every situation. We are to pray in any situation. So I need to be more prayerful. Say amen. Because the more I'm prayerful, the more I am aware of His nearness, His closeness, His soon return. Because this might be the last worship service you're in. Yes? And you'll stand before God and give an account. How did you worship in this service? You see, we're all here thinking we got another service. You know why? We don't think the Lord is near. He is near. I did a funeral for somebody I didn't know on Monday. And I told them, I said, with all these people in this room today, one of us is next. One of us is next. Right? I don't know how long it's going to be. They don't know how long it's going to be, but one of us is next. One of you is next. Prayer and everything keeps us aware of the nearness of God. Now look at that word supplication. Can you see it? Supplication. It is translated from the Greek word that means an urgent request to meet a need exclusively addressed to God. What is the need? You say, well, I have a lot of needs. No, what is the need that you need? It is an awareness of the nearness of God. That's what you need. I need an awareness, an increasing awareness of the reality of the nearness of God so that my heart will be full of joy and there will be no self-assertiveness on my part seen by men, and there will be rest instead of anxiety. That's what I need. That's what you need. I hope you see this all coming together in Paul's writing here, as we have not ripped it from its context. Paul says this then. You be careful for nothing. You rejoice in the Lord. You let your moderation be seen of all men. You be aware that the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It is not just prayers and supplications. It's prayers and supplication with thanksgiving. Yes? Amen. And the word thanksgiving means the expression or content of gratitude, the rendering of thanks or thanksgiving. So prayer is general and supplication is specific, and your prayers are to be offered to God in a certain way. Your requests are to be made known to God with what? Thanksgiving. Your prayers and your supplications are to be made to God with an attitude of gratitude. Are you listening? Let your request for the awareness, that's what I think it is, let your supplication for the awareness of His nearness be known unto God, so that you may rejoice in all situations, be serving of others in all situations, not be anxious in any situation, be prayerful in all situations, and let it be known to God with thanksgiving. Grateful, thankful for who God is. Thankful and grateful for what God has done. Thankful and grateful for what God continues to do and has promised to do. Thankful for past awareness. Thankful for present awareness. Thankful for future awareness. So what Paul says is this: you don't go to God in an arrogant and demanding way. And you don't go to God in a flippant way. And you don't go to God. We don't go to God as if we are self-sufficient. Now I'm going to give you tonight, on the eve of Thanksgiving, the reality behind what Thanksgiving is. Are you ready? Write it down. Write it on your hand. Be like those, I don't know why, parents don't buy paper anymore. All my kids write it on their hands. Being thankful is the acknowledgement that God is good and you don't deserve His goodness. Amen. Say amen. God is good, and I don't deserve anything. But He gives me everything. Therefore, I rejoice in Him always. God is good, I don't deserve anything. Therefore, I don't assert myself or my will. God is good, and I don't deserve anything. Therefore, I'm not anxious about anything. God is good, and I don't deserve anything. Therefore, I pray about everything. God is good, and I don't deserve anything. Therefore, I make my requests known to Him with a grateful, undeserving, humble, thankful heart. So, Thanksgiving is not about a day on our calendar. It's not about a meal. It's not even about family. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy all of that. But that is not what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is not missing church to get a meal done the next day. Thanksgiving is about our desire to see the glory of God in a greater way. Thanksgiving is my acknowledgement that God is good and I don't deserve any of His goodness, but I ask that He would make me more aware that He is near and that His coming is close, and I want to come to church and I want to serve Him, not just in my human strength, but in the supernatural strength that He can give. Amen. Oh, don't you feel in your heart worship can be better than this? Worship can be better than what I'm given. Service to Him can be better than what I'm doing. Don't settle. Reach to see His nearness. It is in prayer and supplication made in humility and thanksgiving that gives us a peace that passes all understanding. It is the peace of God that keeps our hearts and our minds what? On Christ Jesus. Anxiety gets my mind off Christ. The exertion of myself gets me off Christ. The lack of joy in my heart gets me, my mind and my heart off Christ. Therefore, pray in everything. Offer your supplications. Make them known to the Lord with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is these prayers and supplications about everything made in humility and thanksgiving that provides this peace of God. Instead of food, instead of football, instead of family, may our hearts and minds be on Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me conclude this way. The reason that we have become a people, or at least the reason that I have become a person who has settled for what I can do humanly instead of aiming at accomplishing that which is impossible without God's special supernatural work is because I have lost sight of God's nearness. Because as I am more keenly aware of that, the more joy I will have in Him, the less self-assertive I will be, the less anxious I will be, the more prayerful I will be, the more I will make my requests known with thanksgiving, and the more I will have the peace of God. Yes? The failure to see God's nearness has left us all less joyous, more self-motivated, and anxious. Amen. What is the remedy? Praying about everything. Making our requests known to God with thanksgiving. It is ultimately a lack of true thankfulness that has left us without the peace of God. And we need to set everything else behind in our lives except living to His glory, being thankful for all that He has done and for who He is. I just happen to think Thanksgiving's about us and God. Amen. Well, at least the Bible thinks that.